This is Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor of Briarwood, and this is Wednesday, and it's time for another slice of fresh bread. We have finished the first three chapters of 1 Timothy. Timothy, his ministry of church revitalization, instructed as to how to set in order the preaching and teaching ministry, and then the right use of leaders and the right qualifications for leaders to be ordained as elders and deacons in the church, and then the call for the church to conduct itself according to the Word of God. They are to be ordered by God's Word, and they are to be a confessing church, telling the world what they believe with clarity and conviction. Well, we get to chapter 4, and here come some warnings. The church of Jesus Christ that's healthy will be a church that's under attack by Satan. So here's what he says. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So here the Apostle Paul says, be on the lookout for people who come in teaching perverse doctrine. He says that the Spirit has already revealed that in later times people will depart from the faith. Now there's two ways basically that the faith is perverted. One is by licentiousness. Well, I'm saved by grace. I can live any way I want to. And God's moral law has nothing to say to me. Well, we know the moral law is valuable. That is, the Ten Commandments is there. Now, he has fulfilled the ceremonial law, and we no longer are in a covenanted nation. We're in the church drawn from all the nations. But the moral law of God continues. And that moral law that Jesus came under to save us from our sins with his perfect obedience and his atoning death for our disobedience, that moral law is now used to show people they're helpless and hopeless, and the law of God gives them the bad news that they need a Savior and they can't save themselves. And the law of God, secondly, for those who are saved, has no power, but it does have direction. How do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? The first four commandments. And how do you love your neighbor as yourself? And that's commandments 6 through 10. And so these commandments, we don't obey them to be saved, but as saved people, we obey them because they are reflective of God's character and how we can love him with abandonment and devotion and wisdom, and how we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And then the third use of the law is that when it is loved and used rightly by God's people, it has a restraining effect of sin in society. That's the right use of the law, but some would abandon the right use of the law. That's called licentiousness. And there's another error and perversion of the gospel, and that's called legalism. And that's when the law is used to put people into bondage. And that means that you can have no assurance of your salvation unless you are perfectly obedient to the law. It is your obedience that allows God to keep you saved and through which God saves you. No, it is Christ's obedience through which we are saved. He goes on to say how they will teach you have to abstain from this. And the fact is, everything God's made is good. Now, you can take everything and turn it into an idol, but the thing itself is not evil. And so food can be turned into an idol with gluttony and drink with drunkenness. That is taught throughout the Bible. Even things like family and husbands and wives can be turned into an idol when anything is put above God in the place of God or that we think is our God. And we are to reject that. But when we are saved, we can take the things of the Lord, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, and when we use them rightly for the glory of God, we can use them with thanksgiving, always sanctifying them by word and prayer. In other words, call upon God so that you live a life of obedience with the things of this world to the glory of God. And one more thing, make sure you're in the Word of God so you know how to use things for His glory. Make sure you're in prayer to give thanks and ask God for wisdom in the use of things for His glory. And that's another slice of fresh bread.
For additional resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app from your app store.